This past Sunday, we had another mass shooting. A shooting that follows in the footsteps of so many other mass shootings we've heard about recently, including Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Emmanuel in Charleston, Orlando, just to name a few of those violent incidents. And I don't know about you, but I feel like they've been happening a lot. And I worry that we'll become desensitized to them. It's just another shooting. That it is somehow accepted as part of life in the 21st century. And we know that violence has existed throughout all of history. The Bible clearly points out that it uses the point of when Cain kills Abel as that first instance of human violence. One of the first things that happens in the Bible. But I think our gospel lesson, at first, seems kind of strange. But I think it's a reminder that God seeks the end of violence. Today's lesson, we hear the parable about wicked tenants who refuse to pay their rent. And instead of paying their rent, they commit acts of violence against the servants of the landlord. So the landlord sends his son, thinking that his son will be more successful. But instead, the tenants recognize the son and in response make a plan to kill him so that they can take his inheritance. They commit murder so that they can have the vineyard. And as our text points out, this parable is directed towards the temple leadership. They are the tenants who have abused God's prophet, and now they will kill God's son. Not accidentally, but intentionally. And when they kill the son, they will not remain in control, but eventually lose complete control of the temple. When the Romans destroy the temple in the year 70, the perpetuation of violence will eventually lead to their downfall. And in this moment, the text gives us a sense that a new culture is coming. A culture that will provide fruits worthy of the kingdom. A place that does not refuse God, but rather a kingdom that embraces a life with God. A life that seeks to end the violence. My first year in seminary, I took a trip in January to the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Now, Pine Ridge's reservation is home to the Lakota tribe, a tribe that includes famous Native Americans such as Crazy Horse or Sitting Bull. But Pine Ridge is also home to one of the largest massacres. It includes Wounded Knee, where in 1890, 150 to 300 Lakota men, women, and children and 25 U.S. cavalrymen were killed when violence erupted when they attempted to disarm the Lakota. They actually had guns placed on the hills above, and initial reports say that some of the U.S. casualties might be a result of the guns on the hill firing down, that they couldn't indiscriminately hit, so they just went ahead and shot into it. And in that instance, that instance of violence, that place has become a place of sorrow, particularly for the Lakota people. A place that became sacred because it now contained the dead bodies of the Lakota ancestors. Become what used to be a field, became a burial site. But during our time in Pine Ridge, we had a tour guide, and his name was Kelly. Now, Kelly was a Lakota man, but he had also participated in something else in his life. He had participated in the uprising at Wounded Knee in 1973, a protest that started as a protest against the corruption that they were experiencing on the reservation, but it also became violent. At one point, there was an exchange of bullet fire between his side, the uprising group and the government. They had literally shot at each other. But as he talked to us, he talked about how important he thought it was for him to give us the tour of Pine Ridge. In his older age, he had changed. He now saw the only way for healing to happen was to make connections instead of continuing in divisions, even though he still maintained a lot of hurt from these events. He still wanted to mend that hurt. And probably the first example we saw was when we went into the chamber, the council, the tribal council's chambers. And he was talking to a man. And they were shooting the breeze about something. And it seemed insignificant. But when we returned back to the Lutheran Center, the Lutheran pastor said that man he was talking to was one of the Indian police that he was shooting at in the 70s. They had gone from literally enemies that had shot bullets at each other to now somehow having a pleasant conversation with each other. There were still feelings of hurt, still feelings of frustration, of anger, of how could you support them? How could I support you? But at some point, they're turning away from that violence, changing themselves. But the story that reminds me the most from that is when he actually took us to Wounded Knee. Now, Wounded Knee was the place that they buried all of their ancestors that had died in this massacre. And before we entered, you could see the frustration on his face, the fear. He was puffing a cigarette, unsure if he should take us in. And he said to us, he goes, "I'm going to take you in. I hope my ancestors forgive me for what I'm about to do. I am bringing the white folk into my cemetery, to a place that honors their dead who died at the hands of what were white men. I'm going to bring them into the gates, close to where they're all buried. I hope they forgive me." You could see the pause that happened. And it's one of those things. The risk of damaging his own culture was less important than mending the fence. That idea that healing the wounds is so important that we will give up, that I will actually hurt my own culture. I will do something that's risky. So that I hope that in the future, we can all live in life together. And I thought about how brave that is. How hard that must be. How resistant I would be of that. To forsake yourself in hopes that relationships can be better. And whether we agree with Kelly or not, about his life stances, about how he feels towards the government, how his life experience has shaped him. There's a part that really commends him for participating in that healing, for doing what he thinks is right to try to mend that bridge. The fact is, justice sometimes calls for the removal of people that abuse power. It does not mean that they are beyond forgiveness. But it does mean that when we see abuse, that God wants that abuse to end. And so in today's gospel lesson, we see a call for justice that will stop that cycle of abuse. The temple leadership is resisting God and have not paid attention to the prophets before Christ. And when Christ arrives, instead of embracing him, they choose to have him killed. A death that is premeditated murder. Not an accident, not on a whim, premeditated. And instead of being a moment of victory for that temple leadership, it becomes a moment of defeat, where as a result of this action, they will lose their position of authority. And by changing the leadership of a community, God will also change the culture. There's an old proverb that goes, the fish rots from the head down. That leadership is so impactful on a society that it, as that rots, it trickles down and causes problems. But if we change that leadership, which God does in the founding of the church, a community grounded in Christ's leadership, not in that broken abusiveness, a community that follows that message of hope, there is this hope that the culture will change as well. A culture where we look forward in hope towards each other, not in fear, not in retribution. A culture where leadership seeks to prevent violence, such as the violence we see in Wounded Knee, but also the violence we see in Las Vegas. And I don't know exactly how to fix this problem. I don't know how to fix this violence in our communities. But I believe we have been equipped as members of the church, as members of this community, that through our actions, we can make an impact in our community, an impact that reflects the fruitful vineyard of Christ instead of this violence that we see on this earth. Amen.